Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Everybody on the planet Earth should get information about the Green Bay Packers from Jason Wilde every day of the year. We do our part. 94.5 ESPN. I have a question for Jason Wilde, but it'll have to wait because during training camp, the first question always comes from the Hall of Famer, Tony Smith. Take it away.
Jason! Well, we know the question is...
Tony!
How you doing, buddy? Hey, I'm just curious to... will we see any more or less of Love in the game tomorrow as far as the plays?
You're seeing Love. You're seeing Love tomorrow, baby.
I know, but like how much? Yeah, same amount?
Brian Gutekunst left very little room for interpretation. He's definitely playing tomorrow. And I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a little bit more than he played last week, which was, what, two series?
Wow.
12 snaps. So
even given the two practices?
Even given the two practices, yeah. Okay. So we... it was an interesting back and forth, you know. I know Chris Larson works his tail off, and I am appreciative of all the hard work he delivers. That said,
for those of you who don't know, that's the Pebble's real name.
Yeah, that is. Unless you're Bill Johnson, who thought his name was Chris Olsen, which is why I call him Chris Olsen Larson. So I know he's producing now, but there were two exchanges that I thought were really interesting with Goody that I had. One was about kind of this risk reward of playing guys in the preseason versus the potential dangers, right? Like Rich Bisaccia said of Tyler Davis that his injury was like losing our right hand on special teams. That's a pretty big statement, right? I mean, think about how much you do with your right hand. And so for him to have said that, I think underscores the dangers of preseason football where, at least in the special teams arena here, they've lost a key player, a really key player. So that there is a risk there. At the same time, you know, in my question and his answer, which I thought was really interesting, Goody basically said, look, these guys need to play together, and we have to absorb the risk even if I don't want to. And he definitely doesn't want to, but he definitely believes that it's absolutely critical that they do. So that's what's going to happen. And it's not just Jordan.
Wait, who decides how much they play? He does? I thought LaFleur does.
No, I don't believe that LaFleur decides that. Yeah, I think they you know, it's a joint decision, Homer. They work together on what they think they should do.
I mean, LaFleur is soft, so he'll pretty much give in to Goody.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And then the second half that was interesting to me anyway was I asked him later, I said, look, you know, I asked you about Mercedes last week, and I said, I'm not going to do that again, but I thought your answer was really interesting in that you basically said that the most important thing is getting through these guys' growing pains so you can be good and, you know, 24, 25. I'm like, I know you still want to win, but how do you balance that? Because it kind of sounds like the most important thing is to get these guys to experience those growing pains. And, you know, he gave the spiel about how we always want to win games, and duh, we know that. But he basically acknowledged what you and I and Tony have been talking about for a long time, which is basically, you know, we want to win a Super Bowl, and I think the theory is that they're not going to win one this year. So that experience will give them a better chance to win one next year or in 2025, and that's his thought process, which I thought was incredible for him to acknowledge.
Well, he kind of did, but he didn't. Would you agree? I mean, if you said that, he would disagree, right? He's not going to admit it. Did we lose Jason?
I don't think he acknowledged it. I don't think he denied it.
Okay.
If I asked him flat out, what's more important, winning this year or getting these guys experience?
He's going to say winning.
Say, oh, well, yeah. We always want to win.
Correct.
But it's in my opinion anyway, it's his way of saying, I know I can't flat out say that winning's not the most important thing, but this is the best way that I can tell you that it isn't the most important thing without saying those actual words. I mean, he had the chance to say, no, we want to, you know, we want to make the playoffs this year. And if you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. But he basically, I mean, his response is basically admitting, we don't think we can win the Super Bowl this year. We need to get these guys snaps so they can get to the point where we can contend for a championship. And whether he realizes that's what he's saying or not, that is exactly what he's saying.
Right. Now, let's address Jason. I don't know that I argue with that. I think it's a good discussion.
I appreciate his honesty, frankly.
I mean, I believe that there's a benefit to veterans, even if they aren't necessarily going to win you more games.
My issue with this is not to say that you want to do this and this is important for the development of your young players and stuff like that. My issue isn't with that. My issue is, was there a way to construct this roster in a way that, because they always say, you know, and Bob Harlan was the first one to say this to me, like, we never want to be rebuilding here. Like, we want to do a good enough job that we have enough young players coming up in the pipeline that we're ready to, maybe we're not a Super Bowl favorite every year, but if things go our way, we can always be contending. And I do feel like the way he has chosen to go about this with the guys that he did not bring back and all these young guys that, like, the level of investment at receiver and tight end the last 2 years as compared to previous years would tell me that he's clearly building for the future with his quarterback that he drafted, right? So basically they didn't do a real good job of having the roster built in a way that they had guys ready to ascend now that could be good players right away, immediately, and still have them be a playoff team. Maybe not a Super Bowl favorite, but a playoff team. And that he's basically admitting that this is a hit the reset button year where maybe the division and the conference are bad enough that they can still get in the playoffs, or, you know,
and if the defense is good enough. And if the defense is good enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And if their defense is as good as it is, then was there, and your special teams is as good as you seem to think it is, right? Although you're going with a rookie kicker, and I still think there's a distinct possibility they go with a rookie punter.
Mm-hmm.
Even with that, was there a way to build your offense with Love as the quarterback that you didn't have such an incredibly large tidal wave of youth coming into your offense that you're talking about these things about getting experience and rookie mistakes and growing pains and whatever else? I would argue that there potentially was, but again, they could have also figured out a way, you know, they had Rodgers restructure his contract on his way out the door. I mean, that could have been restructured in a way so they could divide up the salary cap hit, right? So it would have been, some of it hits, you know, pre and post June 1 type deal, and they didn't do that either. And so this is a reset year that allows him to have more cap space next year, have Rodgers all count against this. All that stuff leads to the exact same place, and that is, hey, we'll be happy with as many games as we win, however many they are, but that's not the priority.
And this will thus make them closer to a Super Bowl next year.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. Which is great. Like, again, I appreciate his honesty, even if he doesn't, you know, flat out explicitly say it. The implication is undeniable.
But I think it's tough. I think that's toughest to me on Jordan Love, which guarantees why it's a 2 year thing.
No doubt.
I have one other thing to address with you. I was off yesterday, and I'm amazed. You're amazed with some things I say. I am amazed that you said this. If anyone castigates LaFleur for this, then you are definitely guilty of entrapment. Discussing that he signed the Jets jersey because of Ben Brust. So entrapment? Well, you said entrapment? How does the head coach become entrapped by a fan? It's like me being entrapped by a kid coming up and asking me to buy something. He's a kid. I don't understand.
Well, Yeah,
and I castigate LaFleur. He's soft, clearly soft. No coach I ever know would have known would ever sign a jersey of another team. And especially with anyone around him, they'd say, look it, sir, just give us your address. We'll sign something for you. It was very easy to resolve. But, I was shocked that he did it. And the idea of entrapment by a fan doesn't seem to me possible unless you're nice and soft the way LaFleur is.
Nice and soft.
Well, I'm nice. So
you're not soft. You're nice, but you're not soft. You are sneaky tough. The questions you've asked of players, including Aaron Rodgers, you are not soft. You're nice.
So if some obnoxious joker keeps badgering me to sign his jersey,
and you're the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, right?
He has decided to involve the head coach of the Green Bay Packers in his tomfoolery.
Right.
And I want this to just be over. You're saying that I, Matt LaFleur, have erred in just trying to get him the hell away from me by shutting him up and signing.
There are other ways to do it that are very easy. And, yes, the fundamental thing is I ain't signing a jersey of another team unless, as someone said to me, I played on that team. No, I'm not doing it. And I don't think you know a head coach that's ever been in Green Bay, other major coach, that would have done the same. They don't sign jerseys of another team. And, the guy asked me 20 times. So? He's a fan.
I don't know how you can be entrapped by a fan
unless you're nice and say,
And he clearly ain't a fan.
Well, but
he's doing that.
I don't think he knew that. He went as a fan.
You know that if someone's doing that, they're not a fan.
Really?
Think he could possibly be a Packers fan?
Yeah. Correct. A fan, not a member of the media. He didn't get in and go there as, you know, he's with all the other fans, right?
I don't.
Okay. All right. We can move on.
Great.
I want to see in this game against New England, you asked this question on your show. Like, I want to see more Wilson and see, like, how good is he? Can he do it again?
Clifford? You mean Cliff? Are you talking about Clifford?
No, the running back.
Emmanuel Wilson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to?
Well, he's going to have to play. He has to play because they don't have that many running backs.
Right.
Tyler Goodson got hurt. Lou Nichols was already hurt. So, yeah, you're going to get all kinds of Emmanuel Wilson.
Aren't you curious to see if he can do it again? He does it again. No. You're the man! What?
No, I'm not.
Wow.
I'm not curious.
I mean, if he has another 80-yard touchdown run, then, you know.
But it doesn't matter.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it does.
Wow. Isn't there at some point that he's so good that they have to keep him on?
No, I don't think there is. Okay. I mean, I say that in no way, shape, or form to denigrate Emmanuel Wilson.
No, the importance of special teams. Yeah.
They have been very clear about how important the special teams component is of that. I think what Emmanuel Wilson can continue to do is to earn his way onto the practice squad. So he is in a great position next year if he's good enough. And again, I'm not willing to say that just yet based on one preseason game and a couple of nice runs in practice, that he's in position to compete for, you know, a role as an actual running back for this team. If he does that, kind of like Tyler Goodson did last year. Tyler Goodson had a really good camp, really good preseason, and had never played special teams extensively at Iowa, so he didn't really know what he was doing on special teams. And so they really liked him as a runner, just like they seemed to like Emmanuel Wilson. So they kept him on the practice squad all year. And now this year, he was supposed to, you know, in his mind and his hope, Tyler Goodson was supposed to make a jump as a special teams guy so he would have a chance to be on the 53. Well, you know, Patrick Taylor is really good on special teams. I don't think he's a better runner than Tyler Goodson, for example. And so if Emmanuel Wilson is the best of the three as a runner, but he can't do the job on special teams, it doesn't matter how good he's been running the ball. He's going to end up at best on the practice squad. Now, if that happens, or let's say Goodson, who's got the shoulder injury, rallies and is able to do some things and improves on special teams, but not enough to earn the roster spot either. The practice squad rules have been so relaxed that if there's a game where Aaron Jones is going to miss it because of a sprained ankle, those guys will be on the practice squad ready to be called up and could carry the ball much more than Patrick Taylor, who is a running back but is more of a special teams guy than a running back. So making the 53 is great, and certainly it's everyone's goal, but if you're on the practice squad as a running back and then you have injuries to A.J. Dillon or A.J. or to Aaron Jones, it's just as good, less pay, but just as good to be on the practice squad because you can get called up for that week and you can end up carrying the ball 10 times. So I don't want to say there's no way Emmanuel Wilson makes the 53 because that would be you being 100% or 0%. But I think it is highly unlikely, even if he has another big game, that that happens.
I'm no longer 0% at the suggestion of Tony. I'm less than 0.5%.
Is Valentine going to make the 53?
Yeah, I want to know. Are we going to learn more about him? Oh, no, he's no making doubt. It. Are we going to learn that he might start, or will anything occur the way he's used tonight that tells us how high he's already moved up the food chain?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm guessing they'll sit their veteran corners again, so he'll get the start and get more playing time. And just like we're talking about with the offensive guys, you know, as good as Carrington Valentine has been, he needs reps in games. So it'll be really good for him to play extensively, just like he did against the Bills.
Is he still looking good in practice too?
Yeah, he's a good player. There's, as Rob Domofsky said to Joe Barry today, how the hell were 231 players drafted before Carrington Valentine? And it's true. And Joe Barry basically said, well, how the hell were 198 players drafted before Tom Brady?
Well, or neither the cornerback you compared him to, Williams, right? He was a free agent, wasn't he?
It wasn't drafted at all. Yeah, exactly.
Now, what percent chance he's a starter? Oh, first game.
Zero. I'm sorry.
Less than half a percent. Thank you. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, right, way to correct yourself, Jason. The autocorrect. Good job.
Next.